Hello, everyone here. I am very blessed and privileged to have all of you here in the same room, mainly because, one, there's a client here, apparently one of the favorite clients, and number two is that for those of you who don't know, Antoine and Fadia are tremendously busy throughout the year, especially the past couple of weeks. So having you guys in the same room here is, I myself is pretty honored. I usually can't even get 5 minutes of your time on a regular day. So, first of all, welcome to this podcast, to Simon and your team at Rafflebox Technologies. Why don't we start things off with a quick introduction to who you are and what Rafflebox Technologies is about. Sorry, Simon, I believe you're still on mute.
Thanks for having me on today. I'm honored that you guys reached out to me to talk about all the work that we've been doing together. So, Rafflebox started back in 2016. There was four of us that sort of had an idea, and that idea was basically for nonprofits and charities just to build an online platform that lets those groups raise funds through either doing like 50-50s or prize raffles. The idea sort of came about. Our CEO, Matt Broussard, he was at at the rodeo in Calgary, and he was trying to just get a ticket for a 50-50, but he looked one way, and there was probably 20 people that way. There was another 20 people to the right of him, and he's like, I got to carry cash. I got to go walk downstairs. So his idea was like, you know, there's got to be a simpler way to do this. So from that, we started thinking about like sports and like, you know, going to NHL games and 50-50s there where there's a terminal going to walk around. And then we just figured out that, this type of idea, once we built it out, could be used for pretty much any type of group that wanted to just transition their fundraising to online. And I guess the big thing for us is we really only started generating revenue when COVID hit. COVID has been good to us. Not as great for everybody else, and I'm happy it's sort of coming to an end here, but that has its own issues as we transition the business. But everybody sort of had to do a digital shift to raise funds online because we couldn't be in person or we couldn't have live events. So since last March, you know, we had around the previous March, we had a team of about four, and now we're at 22 staff. I just recently moved back to Nova Scotia. I'm originally from here, and we just opened up our office in downtown Halifax, down on Barrington. That's a really nice spot. So things are going really well. Operating in most of the provinces now. There's only two that are outstanding: Manitoba and British Columbia. We're really excited to be in Ontario now. Like lots of large markets. A lot of market share there to gather up. So yeah, that's basically the background on us. We work with a few thousand nonprofits and charities today. And today we've raised probably like $35-40 million for nonprofits and charities. So we're really, really proud of that. And we've also, it's sort of like leveled the playing field. In the past, there's other competitors out there, but because we have no upfront costs, we sort of reduce that barrier of entry. So there's really no risk. So you guys get grants, which is free money. Rafflebox basically lets nonprofits and charities raise free money through our platform. So that's one of the reasons Alex, who I worked with in the past, he was like, we're doing sort of the same thing. So I'd really like to chat with you about some of the grants that that your team thought that we could probably work together on. So,
well, that's awesome. Thanks for that. I'm glad that something like this, so simple, can have this kind of digital transformation. My idea of raffle tickets and these kinds of prizes stems from golf tournaments, fun fairs, and all these kinds of charity events I never won anything in. As a kid growing up, I've always thought these things were rigged. So I'm glad that Rafflebox Technologies have showed up to even up the playing field. Now, as to talking about raising funds and not having to take a bit of a risk to do so, and by risk, it means that you have to upfront dollars just to raise funds, not knowing your chances. That actually quite aligns to the latent DNA and how we work with our clients with grants, which now leads to where Fadia and Antoine's work lies in. I do assume that you've had some instances where you've communicated with Antoine and Fadia's team. Can you give us a quick overview of what kind of grants that we've worked together on so far?
Yeah. So to date, one of the ones that I'm working with Antoine and Ryan on, I've worked with a lot of your team because there's a lot of different specialists in different areas. So Antoine and I are working on the Alberta Innovates grant right now. So what that grant is basically I can subsidize, I think up to like $105,000 for one of our staff. So we're working on that. You know, what we were doing before, so I was working with other people before this, and one of the things was I was having to pay, and what I wasn't really getting a good outcome from it. So, you know, what I really liked about Leighton was the fact that you get paid when I get paid. So basically, like, you've taken away the risk on my end, right? Similar to how Raffle Bucks takes away for nonprofit charities. Lots of things in common. So we're working on that grant now. I'm still sort of finalizing a lot of, like, you know, our business case is constantly changing, but, you know, those, the like, pretty much the guys have been waiting for me to finish things off. You know, they're in the systems, they're pretty familiar with all the players and, you know, just having that sort of repository of, you know, that writing, I guess, or the business case stuff that we typically submit for these grants. You know, that's what we're working on now. So probably get that submitted in about a month, I would say. So that's the Alberta Innovates one. I've also, we just finalized our SHRED credits. So we started that about 3 months ago. And like I said, Raffle Box only really started generating money a year ago. And at that time, we only had like one or two developers. Now we've grown to about six or seven developers. So that was it was a first for myself to go through. I haven't gone through SHRED before. So when you sort of go through it, it's a bit daunting if you're to do it on your own, I guess you could say. So I worked with Daniela on Leighton's team, and she sort of like walked us through everything. Very easy to sort of gather that initial documentation, but with SHRED, it's interesting because it is research and development. And I, in my mind, I didn't really know if we were actually doing any truly R&D, I guess you could say. So it was great because she was able to identify, aspects of what we were creating or developing that were valid for SHRED. You know, so that was one of the biggest things, I think, was just the ability for Leighton and the team to just tell us, okay, this is what you can do, this is what you really can't do, and then even just documenting it and pulling all that information that we need was extremely helpful as well. So I think we're getting about 60K back this year. Now that we have a lot more developers, it should be significantly more, and we have a couple new products coming out as well. So looking forward to getting a bit more money back next year with our folks. And then the third one we just worked on was the Can Export Grant. So pretty much Alex called me with like 5 days before it was due. Antoine got on the horn. They fired me off an email, said, you know, can you log into this website, create the account? I was like, okay, I'll burn through all this information and document as much as I can to get over to you. So we got that done. I think it was like 3 p.m. on a Friday. We managed to get the access, got the submission in, and then it went pretty quick. But it was good. Like everybody knew what to do. Everybody was able to get their information submitted in time. And so now I just, even the responses, I just save those for other grants, and I'm sure there's a few more that are coming out, but that's another good thing is Leighton knows pretty much where the grants are coming out even beforehand. So even talking with their team, they're like, hey, there's this marketing grant that you can apply for. There's this new Alberta grant. We're basically across almost all of Canada now. So it opens up additional opportunities for grants as well. So those are the key three that we've been working on to date. Two of them submitted, and the last one that Antoine and I are just going to try to get submitted here is for the Alberta Innovates grant. So.
Well, I hope the third one's the charm. And I'm sure after hearing everything you said about the team, the grant, and the shrimp consultants must be blushing by your compliments. That's awesome. I'm glad that we were able to do that for you and that you've had a pretty decent experience with going through these applications. I must say that the reason why I've not been able to get too much of Antoine's time was because of all of those CanExpert applications that were on a very tight deadline. I'm sure the 5 days notice that you've got is probably the record high and how quick they've cranked up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had to submit Simon CanExpert really quick because the entire CanExpert program would close on a very short time notice. I think it's the first time in many, many years that CanExpert would shut down like that. And this is why we had to be really, really fast on this one. Usually we like to take our time to build the project like we do with Alberta Innovates. It's normal for a company to have a project, whether it is on international activities or innovation or research and development. It's totally normal for a company to change its business plan or whatever. But we build that together. And this is why sometimes it takes time. But that was really good to know that when we don't have time, we can actually go for it. And well, we'll see what's going to happen. But we provided with quality because we have a good relationship with Simon. And he knows, I think I can trust him on the quality of the information, of the quality of his project. And he can trust me on putting in the effort, saving times and doing it in time.
One of the big benefits I find is because we're working on all these different grants, we sort of have a built-up repository of all this information already. So it sort of gets to a point where, you know, we don't have to get super creative or we have to keep writing a bunch of information. We just go sort of like in my past, we do like RFP responses, and I'd go to a pool and I'd pull the information out, I'd drop it in, and that's how I, you know, apply for a bid or whatever. So it's nice because we've worked on so many different grants, we now have all that information and we're able to do like a quick turnaround like that as well. So.
That's great to hear. If I were you, I would be asking us for lower rates since we have so much work. Don't tell anyone I said that. Yeah. But that's great to know. And I want to ask a little bit about Shred. I know we're a little bit sidetracked, and you've mentioned that you've done a lot of work not knowingly that it's a technological advancement. Do you mind giving us some idea of how that was derived or how that was identified?
Yeah, so like we're not reinventing the wheel with the website, right? So it's like it would be like a standard website, you know, just with code that is out there, like nothing created from scratch, really, right? So, and we're using a payment processor to process payments. So, you know, any type of web development company, I guess, could probably go out and build what we have. Probably not as good as our guys, but so some of the things that we did have to do is we had to print tickets. So in some provinces, you still have to print physical tickets for every draw, or you have to mail tickets. The problem was is like we would do a raffle, and we have like a weekly one in Nova Scotia that does like 300 to 400,000 every week for the volunteer fire department. So they would sell like 240,000 tickets. There's no way with the current like technology that was out there that we could accomplish that amount in a time that was needed. So our dev team basically bought a bunch of these like printers off the internet. We created a special algorithm for them. We sort of linked them all together so you could just have two, or you could scale up till 10. And then the idea was they'll just start printing tickets into a big barrel. You get them out the door because we basically would ship those off to customers as well for their draws. So that was like where we dialed in the R&D a lot, because that was pretty special. It wasn't really out there. We had a specific amount of tickets that we had to do in a certain amount of time. A lot, we failed on a lot of points trying to get to where we needed to be. So I didn't know, like, you know, if you had a printer that you didn't end up with in the end, that, you know, you can still get money for that. Anywhere where, you know, you had to, the other thing was sort of just like tracking the iterations of the development. So one of the other good things that came about from the process of going through Shred is like, now I know what I need to document. Now I know that, okay, we're going to implement like time tracking, for example. Anytime we use Clubhouse for development cycles. So we would have all of the points documented now. So first time going around, because we haven't done Shred before, it's a learning curve, I guess you could say, from what you actually need to document from the business side. So that was the big one that we went through. That was unique. That was R&D. We had some other ones that we've like identified. And then it just really got us, working with Danielle and working with on the Shred side, really got us thinking in a specific way as well. And implementing that into our day-to-day business practices. So next year it should be easier, quicker. We'll have the information, we'll provide it, and we'll go from there. So.
Love hearing that. And this is, I will say, this will be a advancement in ticketing.
The funny part was, probably a month later, they got rid of the barrel printing tickets. So the province said, you're allowed to use random number generation now, which, you know, they probably should have done from the beginning, but, you know, it met the need of what we had to do. Like, actually, at the beginning, we were like physically cutting tickets with our hands. I found a picture the other day of my wife and one of my coworkers in the kitchen in Calgary, and we're like tearing them up by hand. So that technology came a long way. But at the end of the day, they realized that the provincial bodies realized RNG is a better way to do it. And I'm much happier that we don't have to print tickets every day as well.
Exactly. That's awesome. So yeah, we did got a little bit sidetracked about Shred, and I'm really glad that it's worked out for you. But something that we should outline on this call, and I think Fadi is the best person to do this, since she's been so quiet so far, is can we have a quick walkthrough with the difference between getting a government grant versus Shred?
Well, thank you, Mark, for this session to start with. I'm happy to be with you guys. Obviously, the main difference between grants and Shred is that Shred is a credit on expenses already incurred. When we talk about grants, we talk about future projects. We talk about planning ahead and getting some funding ahead of time. Grants is a fun game because grants come and go. Some of them are mainstreams that are always there, but some of them, like this story with Antoine, where an export closed and they just gave us a week and we were scrambling trying to get every can export mandate that we had ongoing. Like Simon, we had to call him and say, well, you have five days. We were also afraid that the actual site, the government site, and we had, you know, we were trying not to submit at the portal all of it at the same day, so we were trying to speed up. It was a fun ride, and that's the thing is with grants, it's a very dynamic, it's a real time kind of programs. There are at the provincial level, there's some at the municipal level, at the federal level. What's funny about grants is that people call you and they're like, wow, I need green grants. And that's all I know about. It's like, I need green grants. And they expect that I have like a big drawer behind me where I just do the checkbook and I say, okay, which green grants do you want? For how much? here it is, let's go. And it is challenging, but for me, that's what drives me to work every day, is that it's companies like Rafflebox, like Simon, that we see making a difference with these incentives. So I have to sit down and I say, look, yes, I'll get you money, but tell me for what? Let's start about what's your project? What are you trying to do? What's the budget you're looking for? Are we looking for $10,000 or are we looking for $3 million? It's a different, there's a lot of parameters that go into grant application, into grants. Some of them are technology driven. That's what we call innovation grants, where the technology has to be innovative. Some of them are more on the business development, on the growing side. So if you hire and stuff, so we're talking about employment, hiring grants. So it's a whole spectrum. It's so diversified that we have to sit down and say, okay, yeah, let's talk first. Let's talk first. And most of the times we're actually, as consultants, we're drawn upon structuring the way the client is thinking. And it's like, okay, fine, but we need a strategy. We need a project, a deadline, a time frame. Because some grants, like the big grants, like SDTC, SIF, these are a year worth applications. So we're saying, so there's a lot of questions to ask, but it's fun because we build this partnership. And then, like Simon said, at one point we have all the information, then we could actually say, hey, did you hear about this grant? You can probably apply for this grant. So it's a fun ride. And with the grants being so versatile, like sometimes it's like, oh, new grant open, we have 2 weeks. And then the whole shift of priorities happen. And I would like to just share a bit about, sometimes we say, why a consultant in the middle? It's like, okay, do you really need to hire a consultant? Before COVID, that's the last time I was out there. I was in Quebec City, and it was a Salon de Technologie Environnementale. So it's all environment, ecology, and whatever. And I'm actually there just out of knowledge. I wasn't really putting my consultant hat. I wanted to see what's the latest and greatest in environmental technology. Obviously, you'll want to do some business, but my main focus was just to see what are the latest, greatest in clean tech and environmental technology. And I happened to see this company. It was on a booth, and I'm talking to him. The guy, it's such a brilliant technology. He had a mortgage in his house. He had, he's dying for self-financing. And he's looking at me. And if you step back, like physically, two booths away, there's the ministry office. There are about 30 people standing and talking and giving you brochures. Would you please apply for our grants? We have grants. The Ministry of Le MEI, we have grants. And I went to there, and obviously, trying to be this, kind of the perfect citizen there. I'm like, oh, ministry, love how powerful you are. Do you know that two booths away, the program that you are selling would benefit him? Did any of you walk out, make a little walk around the salon and see these programs, if they can benefit at least the people that are participating in this show? So that's what I say sometimes, it's our role. Yes, we do help you apply, but at the same time, it's to bring that message. It's to bring entity. We're like what we say in French, a catalyseur. So we're catalysts. We actually bring programs to clients and clients to programs which otherwise would have probably never met. And that's what I say sometimes. I like to partner because, yes, grants, it's beautiful. And But at the same time, you know, like, do you know of them? We have a hard time keeping up with them. And I know we're a whole team. We're the great Grantsbys, isn't it, Antoine? We call ourselves the great Grantsbys. So, you know, we're having fun, but we have a hard time keeping up with the, you know, all the grants in and out and what's available, what are the criteria. So, and it's a job at a full time. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think I like to say that, yes, I can list grants. I have a list. Oh my God. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up. It's like, oh, how about this? How about we do that? But, so we can go from SHRED is an incentive. It's not a grant. It's a tax credit. But from SHRED to IRAP to CANEX to Alberta Innovates to, there's a lot of, we keep also with whatever is the budget, whatever the budget, the government budget's announced, we kind of tag along. Like now there's a lot around energy efficiency, a bit more in some provinces than other provinces. I know Quebec, we're a bit stronger on that, Ontario a bit less. So there's sort of so EFICAS, there's, you know, with Hydro-Québec, sometimes it's not just government, there's other grants that could be. So the landscape, and I know it could be too much for some people. For us, it's like, yes, the more the better. Isn't it? Well, so one day it's like, we're working on that. No, we're not working on that. We're working on that. How about this? Let's go there. So it's a fun ride, and I enjoy it every day. So, I can talk about grants forever, so let's keep it focused. What do you want me to say?
Well, you're in the right place. You're in the right podcast for that, Flavia. You touched upon a number of points about grants, and one thing that stuck out is keeping up with what's in the market. It's kind of like the new Apple Watch that comes out every couple of months, or you know, a new iPhone. What's interesting to me is, I guess this is a question for both yourself and Antoine, is what do you do? What's next whenever something new comes up on the website? Let's say CEWS came out, or a new version of CanExport comes out. Like, what's the first thing you guys do?
Well, I'll tell you one thing is, I wouldn't take credit as a team, even though we are a grants team, but the whole company kind of teams up on that. So we are on a lot of lists, so we usually get those emails directly, but I mean, between our sales, our consultants, the whole company is on the watch. So what happens is usually we get an email about that. The first reaction that I take and the whole team take is, what's the impact? So our always main focus is our existing client, our existing pool. How is that going to impact them? Do they benefit from them? So there's impact or benefit. It could be like an export, which is, oh my God, let's do it. Otherwise we're going to lose it. Or it could be, oh my God, this is something that, this list of our clients could benefit from, and this is where we work with sales to go through our, to go through our list of or our pool of clients and say, where is that applicable? Obviously, from a stream perspective, or from if it's a new grant that we know about, the first thing would be, like any other business, is to look at it and see see if this is something we can offer. I do know about a lot of grants, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that we have a value added on some of them. Some of them are too small that I would just tell my clients, while talking to them, say, if you go apply, did you know that you're allowed with a small form to get $10,000 on implementing this, on implementing that? The consulting / the revenue generating from a business perspective are a bit too different. So the first thing is to look at that, to look at the eligibility criteria, and to see if it's something we can help out our existing clientele first. Obviously, we kind of want to make sure that our client have the maximum benefits. And then if it's something promising, we have such a good, we have the wolves and we have whatever every sales team is called. And then we get them on a new market, on a, you know, target markets. Then the strategy shifts to sales and sales take it on into defining a strategy, a market target and stuff, and see who else doesn't have to sit in his own booth waiting for a miracle that comes from the two booths away, while 30 people are standing doing nothing. So we try to kind of accelerate this miracle, make it happen to our clients or to new clients.
Accelerating the miracle to make things happen for a client. I love that quote. Maybe it should be latest new tagline. So you know, I do have a sales team in Leighton, and we're not called the wolves. I don't know about the other teams, but we're very nice people. And we do not prey on anything.
Who said wolves are not nice? Who said wolves are not nice?
Wolves
not the fish, but wolves can be nice to others.
Wolves are cool. Wolves are cool. I love the idea of a wolf pack. But I don't know. It's never really resonated with me when we approach clients in the sales perspective, especially having to do all the work to look at grants that are available to them. Another phenomenon that I find soon to be interesting is the landscape of grants when we're shifting away from the pandemic. Now, with the pandemic happening, there's been a lot of allocation of funds in different places. There's things like regional recovery funds, there's Canadian emergency business wage subsidies. Do you guys, I mean, there's no right or wrong answer, and, you know, we don't have, we can't foresee the future, but do you think there will be a shift of different kinds of grants coming up? Will there be like a similar version of CanExport just to help businesses recover from COVID? Or will there be more grants based on hiring new employees just to help with the employment rates of the country?
Well, from
that's what I
call dynamic. As a society, whether pandemic or non-pandemic, we go through, we evolve. And with evolution comes with innovation and new ways of doing things. You can see overall society from the budget to a budget allocation. It's kind of a bit your first indication of, as a society, where we're putting our efforts in. So yes, there will be a shift, but a bit of it is COVID, life sciences and industries like that are definitely got a spotlight faster. So probably COVID, if you want, the speed of certain industries being seen or being appreciated or being put in front in terms of priorities, budget priorities and government priorities, there are some shifts that happened. But this is a reality that nevertheless, I mean, I am the dinosaur that IT, the first computer I worked on is in the museum downstairs. So, you know, IT was not a very innovative. It just, you had to type a few things and people hated it. So like I said, it's as we evolve environment, you know, like the shift to environmental had started before COVID. The interest in environmental approach, the circle economy, you know, so there are a lot of, we started seeing movement. Now, COVID obviously comes to play where we do understand what the resilience now means. It's kind of brought it a bit to the everyday language now. Like, you talk to my daughter and she knows what resilience is. As opposed to, it was only the elderly talking about resilience and how we can protect the city. So yeah, there was an effect on COVID from an environment perspective. Obviously, we're going to see a bit more focus on this. But this is a reality of a society. And that's what's cool, actually, about grants, is that we're not into a stable I wouldn't call it stable because I don't like stable. I'm not a stable person. So, you know, like a bit of a, you know, kind of status quo. So we might go back, like, you know, some things we do go back to as well. So this is a reality. We'll see more life science. We'll see more environmental, and we're seeing it a lot. Energy efficiency, those started 2 years ago, but now we're into them because there's a lot more demand for it. So yes, there is a shift, which was, I would say, in my opinion, humble opinion, it was just got accelerated by COVID as opposed to it was created by COVID.
Gotcha. That's really cool. And I like the fact that there has been a lot of emphasis with saving energy and having funding in the form of grants to help businesses to find innovative solutions for the environment. So now I want to ask a little bit. I've asked you earlier about what you think would happen after the COVID is over and what kind of grants there are. But now that we have a client on this call, Simon, what would you like to see when the pandemic is over, and what kind of grants would best fit your day-to-day in your business or any kinds of projects that you'd look to start?
Yeah, I think the can export, even just pushing the can export one through, probably like a week prior to getting the phone call saying we got 5 days. We saw that, you know, pretty much people are going back to their regular life. So looking down at the U.S., you know, live events, half the arenas were fully jammed. We're always looking at, like, okay, what's next now? So where our software was pretty much all online, now we got to start looking at, okay, live events again, right? So we don't really have a product out for live events or, like, POS terminals that you're walking around with. So the Can Export grant for us is now enabling us to enter that U.S. market, which is pretty big compared to the Canadian market. And then, like, coming out of COVID, you know, we realized that we're pretty much across Canada now. So we'll scale up in Canada. Now looking at the U.S. market to grow more is pretty key for our business. Like, we're talking to groups in Florida right now, and Florida's population is bigger than basically Canada, right? The state. So, so I guess I'm not too sure what type of new grants would come out. You know, there might be, like, going back to work programs. So, like, you know, today we do use hiring grants, like Venture for students. We work with, like, co-op work terms. There's also one in Nova Scotia. There's a smart grant for hiring staff. So I would assume that we're probably going to see a fair amount of those hiring employees or subsidized employee grants. Because, you know, COVID did affect a lot of people. A lot of folks lost their jobs as well. So I could probably see some stuff coming out in those space. But outside of that, I'm personally not too sure what else may come out from grant perspectives. That would be, like, new. But, you know, we can of course always use additional funds to bring on more staff and more employees to grow our business. So, you know, typically we look for that today anyway. So,
what's hiring grants for staff when the pandemic's over?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big one personally. You know, provincial level, maybe like federal, like some of those student ones are like federally funded. But I'm talking about more like there's one in Nova Scotia, Smart. It's like a get back to work program. Like if you were laid off or you've been out of work for a while. So I think we'll probably see a few more of those coming out in all the other provinces. And we have staff in other provinces. So, you know, wherever those options come up, we definitely will be utilizing them for sure.
We're starting to see that. There's Alberta started with Jobs Now, which is about 25% of the salary of a new hire. So definitely on the employment side, we are seeing more of that. What I would like to see is there's a lot of policies. We know that, let's say, as simple as single-use plastic is going to be banned by the year end. However, we have nothing that actually could help out companies that want to steer away from it. So there's things I wish, you know, the government or the lobbying, I don't know which one should be, but we need to do something about those, because otherwise we're not going to be able to handle them. You know, like they said, they started this residential issue. So we're talking about more of a society. So they started a bit on the, to help out for, to help the economy first, but at the same time, the environment as well, by helping residential people into, you know, when they're doing energy efficient measures in their own home. So there's a lot to do, hopefully, on, you know, like with the vaccine, and I'm not nowhere to comment and nowhere to be political, but it was sad to see that it was nothing manufactured within Canada. So hopefully that will change. I mean, they started, but we had to get everything out of outside the country. And hopefully this will be like life science will get a bit more, you know, or you know, these kind of things that we look more into it, but they will not happen without subsidies, without having a little incentives to help start those. So, you know, hopefully we'll get more onto building resilience around, well, I'm not wishing it, but another incidents like that. That was a global thing, and we should learn more about it and have a bit more money put towards making sure that doesn't happen again. Well, not to that impact.
Yeah, I definitely echo the same sentiments for myself. I mean, look at it, like a week ago, Vancouver had record high temperatures that, you know, will have very adverse effect on the ecosystem. So yeah, just, you know, we're really going out of the subject here, but as a person, it'd be nice to see more funding programs dedicated to these kinds of initiatives to for the betterment of where we're living in right now. Earth.
And this is where we're trying to work with the European Commission grants, because Canadian companies have their, they can find a lot of opportunities in Horizon 2020. No, now it's Horizon Europe. And basically we have a lot of opportunities to work internationally to improve research and development with the big market and research center that is becoming Europe on sustainable development technologies, research, everything. So this is all, this is interesting because these are social challenges, but you, we talk about how we have to improve Canadian facilities. That is a yes, but we also have to keep the eyes open on what is going on outside in the big world, not maybe across both of the oceans, not only the good old same continent, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's everything.
Yeah,
we have to
improve
the international structures, and we have to keep looking out, keep watching, keep being involved. I think exporters and researchers have to have this international aspect of things in their mind. And this is what grants, there's a lot of grants for that as well, where it is a project or an industry growth. You can find solution. Whatever your problem is, anywhere in the world, if you're Canadian or not, you will find a grant that is adapted to you. And this is what's great about grants.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Antoine. We just finished actually a grant with our office in Germany. We worked in collaboration with them. And I think you're absolutely right, Antoine, and he says that there are some issues or some realities that are global realities. And we are seeing a lot of, and that's probably the new generation grants is going to be a lot of between Canada, EU, or North America, EU, even with, you know, so, and I guess the fun of it already started with, you know, Antoine being involved into a European grant. It was a combination Canada, Germany. So, and we do have offices all over the world, and that will be in the lookout as well. Because I guess in collaboration between countries, and you know, the funding coming from two instead of one or sometimes three. So we have, you know, some calls with Eureka and some calls, you know, specifically with certain countries. So that will be probably a bit more, hopefully a bit more on the scene as well.
I would love to one day visit our Munich office in Germany if we ever have more of those clients that would, one, create...
I have priority.
Yes, please.
I'm Me and Antoine worked on it too. So.
Yeah, definitely a mandatory site visit to the client on the other side.
And this is also what's amazing, great. We have offices absolutely everywhere. And
yes.
We have grants absolutely everywhere. We can access grants absolutely everywhere. So absolutely. I will take care of that. You know, I will go and talk to everyone to see if they have something for me. I will take the charge.
No, I just want to battle. Who's going to
go? Antoine, I'm going to put you on the spot. So you said that we have offices everywhere. Can you name all the offices just right on the spot?
No, I cannot. I cannot name them all. There's in Germany, then in France, there's in UK, there's in the US, there's...
There's sometimes in the same country, have multiple offices. You know, I know in Spain, in Italy, we opened in Bari when we last won. So we do have, we have Milan, Bari, we have three in Italy, and so we have in Sweden.
Yeah, I believe it's three in Italy, I want to say eight in France. Do not want to offend my boss's boss, his boss. I'll say eight in France. In Germany, I think it was two, right? Munich and Frankfurt. But the grants that we were talking about, how it can have an impact of doing research with an overseas entity, I think that's really, really cool. And I've only just started hearing about this now. The Eureka program that you brought up, Fadi, do you mind giving us a quick background, just a very simple background as to what it is and how it could benefit Canadian green tech companies?
So in European project, in European project, you have the very famous, very well-known Horizon Europe, which is the overall program. And it is divided in subsection, and it's also divided in subsection. There's a lot going on there. And one of those subsection would be Eureka program, which basically helps companies, technology or innovation driven companies to grow, whether it is on one market or in multiple markets, but the idea is to meet the industrial needs with innovation and strengthen markets research for any kind of products that is involved. It's basically a network, basically. The idea is to make everyone meet everyone, and they have some calls, so you can get funds to answer a very specific problematic that would be encountered by any state members. And in the Eureka network, there's not only European countries. There's also there's Canada. Canada is involved in the Eureka program. There's Israel. There's a lot of other countries. I cannot cite them all, but it's very interesting. Fadia, you wanted to add something, maybe?
I wanted to say that, it's a networking. Basically, you can look into that pool of network if you look to manufacture something. Sometimes, even if you want to collaborate in terms of research or even in deployment, this is the network that you can look into and apply for a partnership and get a partnership happening and be kind of funded through it. So it is amazing. Again, I think we are a bit running out of time. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, the international programs are also very interesting. The one we just got involved to, correct me if I'm wrong, Antoine, but it was an 80 million euro grant. That's not the cost of the project, that the actual grant. So, there's pretty amazing, nice, challenging, impressive technologies that kind of go across the border, everywhere, across the seas, and that's the beauty of it. That sometimes we can at Leighton link those. We're very much working together with our other offices. We do have I get in touch with the grant team. I wouldn't say regularly every day, but just to make sure that we're aligned. And that's fine when we say, okay, what's happening now? I guess you could see the same trend in France, and like the energy, now that they're a bit more on energy, it's they're a bit more, if you want, on some areas they're a bit more advanced. Like it became, some laws are already in place as opposed to we don't have, but you could see the trends, and sometimes you validate that. It's like, oh hey, we're not the only one thinking like that. So that's what you take from when you talk to other people. It's like a soundboard, you know, it's like a soundboard effect. It's like, oh yeah, I'm hearing myself. It's nice. So we could see those trends.
So there is the Eureka network and there is the Leighton network. that's the idea.
Yeah. Well, our Leighton network is really cool because, it's also nice to see that. I mean, this is a bracket for Leighton, but it's the same spirit as well. It's the same, we call it DNA. We have the same DNA. We share the same DNA and we keep on exchanging, reminding ourselves that we're all on the same DNA. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And I do hope one day we can have these field trips to explore what these DNAs are around these different offices.
We definitely will. I mean, I think it has been a while. We've all been into this little mess for a while. Like as a human, 18 months is a bit of long
period. And I think there's a grant somewhere for that. If we really need it, we can find a grant.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to go on vacation first, somewhere warm down south, and yeah.
Well, Simon, you can get us on the Ripple Bucks. We can probably create some kind of money raise some funds.
We'll be in the U.S. in September, so I'm interested to see what type of grants that are located there. So we're setting up our subsidiary company, a U.S. company down there, so. We would be able to apply for all those U.S. grants. So start getting the list ready for me. So.
Yeah, for sure, because we are starting to get involved in the U.S. grants as well. We have offices there.
Yeah.
And we're working together on seeing if we have a company that is both in there. I mean, there's a U.S. company which are handled entirely by our U.S. offices, but there's
gotcha.
the people that are in between. And we're trying to see how can we maximize the grants at both offices and if there's anything in between. So, yeah, we'll see. Definitely.
Yeah, that's great to have that power, I guess, because, you know, as a company, you know, it just expanded to the U.S. first. We're looking at the U.K. So, you know, having those other offices there and those other teams, you know, you guys can just pick up a call and say, hey, I got a company, they're moving into the UK, for example, what do you have available? This is what they do. So that works out well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't worry, Simon, the next hour after this podcast is released, you get those calls from our
colleagues. Yeah, that's fine with me. It's
fine with the better. Of course. So that actually brings me back to, you know, the boots on the ground. I want to actually have in my notes here that I want to ask about how we got in touch with you initially and how it led to communicating the right things to you and giving you the right suggestions on how to pursue these programs.
Yeah, so Alex Ilenko, we used to work together in our prior career. So I was at Dell Technologies. I was selling backup and disaster recovery. He was working for another company that built software that sort of tied into our products. And I tell you, we tried and tried and tried to get a deal together, but it never, ever came to fruition, I guess you could say. No lack of effort on both of our sides. I know there's probably three or four we tried to push through, but it never happened. So he left and went to, I believe, take over the office in Toronto and start building that out. And about the same time, I left my job at Dell when we started finally making some money, and I went over to Rafflebox full time. So we had each other on LinkedIn. He saw my LinkedIn. He saw what I was doing, and he was like, "Hey, I think you know you're a really good fit for what we're doing, especially for like new startup companies." You know, working with those specific companies that are starting to grow, knowing what grants are sort of available to them. He just reached out and was like, hey man, I think I can definitely get you some money. And I had some past experiences with the grants, and it wasn't the best. Also, I'm trying to grow a business. I have no time to go write this stuff. I'm not a creative writer. Sitting down and, writing out 100 pages of stuff is just not what I really want to do. So we'll go hunt all these down. So once he put me in touch with your team, we had like sort of a kickoff meeting. We started going through what I can apply for. Starting with the Alberta Innovates one, he was like, okay, well, you're doing R&D for Shred, so I'm going to put you in touch with our Shred folks. Can't export. When are you going to the U.S.? So it was like December he reached out to me of this, just last year, December, January. I was like, you gotta start thinking about getting it in sooner than later because, they may end up cutting it close, or you just want to make sure that you're in there. So it's good too, because he was just following up with me saying, you got to get this in or you're not going to get any money. I appreciate that. So that's how Leighton came to me, was through Alex. And then, from there, I was just working with like Antoine, Ryan, Daniela, just on all the different projects. So. Yeah, and like I said, two of them have been submitted. We're working on another one, and as the grants pop up, I usually get like an email or message saying, "Hey, you got to go look into this one. I think you'll be able to apply for that, or your business model fits, or your growth into the U.S. You can apply for Can Export." So, that's how we all came together.
That's phenomenal, and I'm glad a lot of these things have worked out, how Alex has kept you informed. Would you say that's one of the main things that was most helpful, just doing all the heavy lifting with writing 100 pages of grant application and keeping in touch with you on programs that are coming up, especially ones end in 5 days?
100%. Like I said, I don't know many startups or people like in our positions who have actually the time to go do that. I want to grow the business. I want to create more revenue. We want to help more customers. We want to keep developing. Any time where you're getting pulled aside for hours and hours and hours on end, writing this. And like I said, I'm not the best writer. I'm more of an operations type of person. So, and I guess like knowing what to say as well and what to bring forward. Like if I didn't work through, like to say the Shred stuff, for example, I would never have known what to do or what to submit. Like it probably would never have got done, to be honest with you. So, we would have probably gave a few cracks at it, but, and that was the other benefit was like, you have no upfront costs. You're invested in it as much as I am because you want to see it go through. I want to get paid. You want to get paid. So like the raffle box model, we say like we're an extension of your fundraising team. That's basically what we say because there is no upfront costs. If you're successful, we're successful. And I think, even back when Alex and I talked at the beginning, we're like, yeah, man, we're pretty much doing the same thing, just in a different space. So that heavy lifting, knowing the grants that are out there, you have relationships with the people who run these grant programs as well. We really don't have, I don't have any of that, right? So it just made sense at the end of the day from a raffle box standpoint to move forward with Leighton. So
that's awesome. Well, thanks for that. I'm really glad that you found value in our services. I guess we're kind of coming up close to the end of this podcast on the last, I guess, the last 2 minutes. Just a fun question. I noticed that you're wearing a Titleist hat. Are you a golfer?
I am. I got new clubs this year, but I haven't really got out too much. I'm going golfing next week in PEI. So I'm pretty excited. It's the first time I'm back home in Nova Scotia since I moved back. So I'm going to be with all my old buddies. The 12 of us are heading out for 3 days of golfing. So vacation was supposed to be this week, but we basically moved the house. Moved into our new house, so it's not really much of a vacation. So next week, my 2 days of vacation starts, and then we back in the office on Monday. So
fantastic. That's really nice to hear. I mean, with the pandemic going on, you know, a lot of us have been working nonstop and possibly burnt out, and we can definitely hit the links a couple times. Sure.
Yeah, that's the COVID impact, which I never thought I was a doctor. I have a lot of people in my waiting room.
Yeah.
I didn't even used to have a waiting room. Now I have a waiting room. That's like, well, thanks. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Mark. Thank you, Simon, for being with us today.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Thinking about raffle box for the podcast.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, everyone. And shall we?
Thank you.
Agents of Change, a Latent podcast, does not constitute a recommendation for any organization, product, or service. It's produced and recorded by Blumex.